Good evening, this is Genevieve Vance, the top story tonight.
Mayday, mayday, we had a badge of love.
Genevieve Vance.
I was hoping Anthony was going to come in with a, what's the girl from Family Guy?
Which one?
Trisha Takanawa.
Oh, just
that's how you get canceled.
Three different. Good evening.
That's how you get canceled, right?
Right. No, Lori did that on one of our episodes. She started, she's like...
Say it, Michael. Go ahead.
Lori did it one, though. I'll pull up the episode soon.
Did I actually say Trisha Takanawa, though? Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah. Because, and also, if you don't get the Genevieve Vance reference, you need to definitely be watching some American Dad.
Yes.
Yeah, I did not get that reference, and I probably will not start watching.
I need to put a wig on. That's what it is.
Oh my gosh, you need the wig and the purple jumpsuit.
She'd be looking so busted.
Busted. I love her. Shout out Roger.
Shout out Roger.
That's what I'm gonna be for Halloween. Happy
slick.
Happy October. Happy Halloween season.
Yes.
Happy fall. Ooh. Is fall.
So cozy.
Cozy.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
In my hands. Cozy.
No, but listen, it's Halloween and it's spooky out in these streets, okay? Spooky. It's scary. It's scary.
We need the mystery machine.
Not the mystery gang.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, Michael rudely said this before we started recording, but every season it feels like when we get to October, we do have to talk about how crazy October is.
No, I said we talked about this last week.
I think your memory, in your old age, your memory is slipping. It is failing you.
We all know Michael's like at least 47.
At least.
No, if you didn't have good Botox, you probably would look 52. But you know what?
I'm glad that you think that I go to, you know, the best esthetician to give me my Botox.
Thank you. Those credit charge receipts.
What about it? What about it?
I do cryogenic therapy. That's crack? The new release.
What did you say? Crack?
Is that? I thought I heard that too.
I heard crack.
I am kidding. Sorry for anybody ears I just blew out.
But no, you talked about Bantober. All we're talking about is October. I don't really care about anybody that got marching competitions. No shade. Shout out to all y'all. Love y'all. Your kisses.
Competitions, but what's so special about October?
Well, the thing is, it's not that it's anything maybe particularly special, but it's like, you got to remember, a lot of people started like, you know.
That is the only thing special.
What?
He said my birthday very slickly before you started talking.
Oh, that's true. Saying my birthday too. Come on.
Yeah, both of your birthdays. Hey.
Correct.
But like in general, like they're like, okay, so September, we only have Labor Day, right? So we have one holiday at the top, the tippy tip top of the month. Other than that, September, no breaks. October, zero holidays. So that is a 2 month stretch where there is absolutely nothing that you get. You get nothing.
Yes.
Right? And like the two big holidays are popping. I guess three if you want to count New Year's, but sometimes I just like, I put that in Christmas.
They're lumped in.
But there's nothing. I mean, you just have to go. And if you're an educator, you know, you kind of get a breather for Labor Day, that one day, but then you're just all gas, no breaks, mm-hmm. until you finally get a break at the end of November. So it really slick is like 2.5 months, almost 3 full months of nothing. And even if you're not an educator, if you're just working, same thing. You are straight working, no breaks. You know, you have weekends, but really weekends are just recovery. You can't really do much besides like try to exist. So it's a lot. It's a lot. And we got to take care of ourselves. You know what I mean?
I'm just going to say this for all the educators in the room and for all the parents. We've been spending 2 straight months with your children nonstop. Nonstop every day because nobody missed school. So yes, it's a little tiring. It is a little tiring. But also, I will say, as an educator, getting it, I feel like Michael, because you know he loves marching band chair.
I really don't. And also, a lot of these educators actually do get breaks. They get a fall break. So that is a break.
Not,
and
have, not many. Not as many as you think.
More than me.
Woo, woo, woo.
Because I get zero.
Oh, I love that. Shout out to you.
Right.
Do you want a struggle pass?
I really was about to say, do you want a struggle cookie?
Don't you get a fall break?
I sure do.
And guess where you're going to be?
On a boat in the middle of the Pacific. So boom. Call my tea. But what I was saying is also, besides just marching band, for everybody else, like October is, you know, if you're in the choir world, it's the all-state auditions are usually in October. Here in Texas, some district band auditions start to happen, region band auditions start to happen. And for me, like, I'm getting my students ready. We don't have private lesson teachers. So it's like every day, after school rehearsals, before school rehearsals, this doom, 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 we're getting things ready. And so, you know, by this time in October, it's like, I need the break. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to, you know, the gen pop teachers, and they say the same thing. They need a break.
General population.
You know, gen pop. Come on now. But you know, I really, really, really.
Man, I was just saying, not the gen pop.
Yes, the gen pops. That's what I call them. The nomadges, the muggles.
The muggles.
All the names. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we also, October is just full of all the things. Like yesterday, we had our Pride Band concert, the first concert of the season, and it was at the same day as our district band audition. So it was running, 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 and then concert, 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 concert. And it's like, OMG. So all day of the day of that we're filming this, I have been in the bed. I have not moved from the bed. But I will say, because we've talked about this many times before, finding ways to like get your energy back up. I was talking to Michael last night. I said, whenever I have a bad day or something, the only thing I need is silence and my YouTube. I am an iPad kid. That's what I am. I'll claim my status. But that is how I kind of reposition myself back to center, is I need my silence in my bed, because to me, my bed is the safest place, and my iPad and my YouTube specifically. Like, I will go on YouTube dives. These two have literally come into my room, and I'm watching either
pregnancy videos.
Yes, a good pregnancy videos. It could be something about a hippo. It could be a war documentary. It could be cruises, whatever. But it's like where my brain is off from thinking about all the things, and I can just exist. And that is like, any day I have a bad day, that's what I need. Yeah. Give me a couple minutes. Give me an hour, 2 hours, and then I'm ready. I'm good.
Yes. No, so you do have to figure out ways to energize yourself. And that means you kind of have to rest with that too. You know what I mean? Like, you got to take a moment to sleep, to sit down, just sit down somewhere, lay down somewhere. And then, yeah, if it's gym, if it's reading, if it's going and being around your people, going out to the club, like whatever it is, you got to find You got to find what gives you that energy back so that you can hit the ground running the next time, because this world keeps going.
And child, I'm going to tell you, you better catch me on a good day if you want me to go to the club.
Nope.
That I will go ahead and say that is a correct statement for Anthony. Now, you don't have to catch me on a good day. You can catch me on it, honestly.
That's true.
That is also a true statement that you just said.
I won't go Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. But Thursday through Sunday, you have a really legitimate 92.75%. You know, actually, I have 80s on Thursday, and then it goes.
For any college students that are listening, go ahead and get that out your system.
First of all, Anthony, the fact that you're pushing underage drinking for college students is very problematic as an educator.
When did I say that?
Because most college students are not 21.
But when did I say anything about drinking?
What were you wanting them to get out of their system, Anthony?
To go have a fun life while you're in college.
I love how he twisted that.
I didn't twist anything.
That's the antithesis of this was the clubs.
No. But what you just did was try to put words in my mouth. What I am alluding to.
Such thing.
What I alluded to was, if you're in college, I want you to get the best experience and a full experience of college. Because here's the thing. Once you get to be in your 30s.
Who's in their 30s?
You.
Who?
I know you ain't talking. You're the oldest one of us, and it shows.
Oh, it doesn't. Didn't you just say that I had really good...
Yes.
So obviously not. I'll send you my esthetician.
You should, because I need some.
All right. But I mean, Michael, you are all the way, you know, with all so many orchestras and the private lessons and working at the university. I mean, do you feel that after this large chunk of time, do you feel like you are to a point where it's like, oh my gosh, I need a break? Or do you think you have put yourself in a certain space mentally for you to be prepared for this era of time?
I think that question can go multiple different ways. Because like I have slowly stopped doing things that drain me mentally. So like I don't, like if you asked me 4 years ago, yeah, I hated life right now. I actually hated life all year 4 years ago. But like, you know, sometimes we have those years. And then 3 years ago, I joined my orchestra and that became a bright light. And then last year, I became full time. You know, like things happen over time. But like for me, most of the things I do now are things I like to do and not like I'm forced to do or I have to do. Because like, and the thing is, if I don't want to do it, I just put my price really up. And if they pay it, then like, yeah, I don't want to do it, but I'm getting a lot more money for that than I usually charge. So, I mean, like, there's also the gaga there. I think for me, it's just become like, I know there is no not busy time. Except for over the summer. That's really it. Like the spring is also busy, but in different ways. And I think we tend to forget that because, or at least in the band side of things, you don't go outside in the spring as much. And so people say, oh, it's so much easier. You're always inside. No, I mean, just the same amount of teaching. We just put more focus on the outside stuff because for some reason that is more prestigious. But no, I think, okay, sorry. That was so off topic. Part of it is, I already know what this month is going to be like. Part of it is I no longer do things I don't enjoy. And the other part of it is it's calloused. Like I'm calloused to just be okay to make it. Like yesterday was a good day. Like I went and played an outreach concert. One of my gigs got canceled. I got so happy I came home. I sat right in my recliner and me and Yega took many a naps and I did a lot of laundry and that was what I needed.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. It makes sense. Mm-hmm.
But I want to say that the callous part, is it something that we should be okay with?
Mm.
To have these calluses, to have this like, I'm just going to put up with this. Feel like, I mean, we've talked many seasons about burnout and how, you know, these calluses build up over time. And when a callus collects and forms together, it's now a sore and now it needs medical attention. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is there something that maybe we could do to make this better some way, somehow?
I think that, because I think back to like how I survived being full-time working and also doing my DMA full-time. And very often I would always get the question from people, like, how are you doing it? And I was like, because I know this is going to end. And then there is a finite end to like me doing these two things at the same time. It's easier to lock in, as the kids say.
Lock in.
To lock in.
Six, seven.
Right. When you know there is a definitive, like, we're going to be done at this point, right? So you're like, I am doing this in order to achieve this goal. Therefore, I can build up all these calluses. I can keep just taking these punches as long as I know that we're going to be done at the end. Mm-hmm. I'm getting to the point now, in my older years, my late 20s, almost late 20s. We're not there yet for a few more days. But in my late 20s, where I want to build sustainable habits. Like me and Anthony, before we clicked record, we're talking about like gym and like all the things that need to be aligned for like consistency for anything. But like, you have to really make sure that you're doing things that, first of all, you're doing it for the right reasons. Mentally, it makes sense. Like, you're not forcing. I think, Michael, you just said this a second ago. Like, you're not forcing yourself to do it. It doesn't feel like something you have to do. It's like something you want to do. Whether it's for your health, well-being, whatever it is. And you don't see it necessarily as a callus, but it's something that naturally just is in your life. And it takes time, right? Because like, if you're not doing something and then you're trying to teach yourself how to feel like it is normal and part of your daily routine, at first it's going to feel a little unnatural. And you just have to keep reminding yourself of like, this is why I'm doing this. And like right now it may feel like this, but what are the ways in which I can make it not feel like it's, you know, a callus, you know, more that it's something that this is something I want to enjoy having in my life. Cause I don't want to feel like I'm suffering anymore. I'm done with the whole like, oh, like I'm like, I can say it now. I did it. I was able to do what I did in order to get where I am. And I don't want to do that again. I'm not here to do that again. You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I want to just be devil's advocate for a little bit. I don't think calluses are bad. Because what I see in this generation is they lack grit. They literally will quit at the first thing it gets hard. And I feel like calluses, like, you know, you get calloused when you work out. You get calloused if you do free weights. You get calloused like that kind of stuff. And I feel like it's okay. And, you know, there's soreness that comes with it too. And that's a different, like, that's not callousing, but you have to get used to being sore when you start working out and it just becomes a part of the routine. But like, I think some calluses can be okay and some are very bad, but like it ultimately leads to grit, because I have seen so many people when I'm coaching sectionals, the minute they mess something up, they just quit. And that is the biggest thing that drives me up a wall. It's just like weak mentality. Mm-hmm. Not saying they're weak individuals. It's just like they are not ready to fight through adversity. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think a lot of people don't get with music, is like music is hard, but music is fun. But music also teaches the adversity of life. Like, you're not going to be great at it at first. You might not even be great at it after 5 years of doing it. But it's the adversity and it's the pushing through that will get you there. So, yes, I think we don't need to take every callus known to man, but I do think calluses are okay in some regards to build grit.
I don't disagree with that whatsoever. I think something I have noticed maybe within the programming that we do at the Symphony when we work with youth, and as I've been a teacher post-COVID, is that, you know, people talk about the glory days of like band, specifically band world, where it felt like you just did things because you were told, and it was like you built the grit, you built the character. Those were values that were instilled upon into youth at those ages by their parents, right? And through the systems in which like the teachers, Sunday school, whoever, neighbors, male people, like it was something that was being instilled in these, in the youths, maybe even that counts with us as well. Like that was something that we felt, but I feel like a lot of youth these days want to know why. There's a lot of questioning of like, well, why does it, is it necessary? What's the purpose? What's the value of this? And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes I think that they're especially because of COVID and everything, how different the world is right now and the access that students have to like so many various opinions that we did not even have access to, being like late 90 kids. I think that they have the ability to question more, to feel as if like, I don't feel like I, just because you're saying this is important, that it's actually important. I want to understand why it's important to you and whether or not that is actually something that is valuable, important to me. Now, we have talked many, many times about how, especially post-COVID and like with youth of the day, that sometimes like wanting to do things and just in general, like them being committed to things is harder. And it's true. It's harder for them to do those things because their parents, like, are they being actually told to do things? Are they being allowed more freedom in which to choose their own path? So is that hurt, helping and hurting? You can go either way, right? I'm not a child psychologist, but we can, I think, all agree that children are getting more freedom of how they can express themselves, how they can think, how they can feel these days. Unfortunately, a lot of the freedom that comes with like, social media, everything, it's not always the best, right? So I think that the challenge that is in front of us, anyone who works with children, works with youth, is how in which we are to engage with youth who have more ability to speak and to think and to question why, rather than us just expecting and wanting them to immediately understand why we see grit as a value. Because for them, that may sound like something that is being forced upon them, something that doesn't necessarily like align to what they want for their lives. So it comes with a lot of extra explaining. And it comes with, I think, a lot of understanding and patience that has to happen. And the truth is, it's going to keep changing. Like we're at our ages now, imagine 50 years, 40, 30, 40, 50 years down the road, how those children will be in those generations. You're going to have to constantly continue evolving. So unfortunately, that idea of grit, callous, and everything at that young age may not be the exact same, or it may take a little bit for longer to get there, just based off of so many like different things, and that I don't think is all necessarily the youth's fault for that to happen, right?
Yeah, I will say, as a person who teaches the middle ages right now, I get what both of you are saying. I am fine to a certain extent. I am fine with questioning of why is this important? That because I was a questioner. I'm like, what are we doing this for? You know, is this really benefiting me, or is this benefiting, something else? That I'm fine with. But there is also something that I just have seen of them just, it's not the questioning part, it's the just, I don't really care to do it. And it's like that is the thing that I think sparks the blood, especially for, I can't believe I'm saying this, but us older people now. I know, it's like, ooh, Jesus. But that, because that bugs me, because it's like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? You know, why did you give up? And it was more of coming like, well, I didn't really. It's just that I just didn't want to. Like, no. And especially in music, you have to try. If you don't try, then nothing will happen. Really, in anything, whether you go and do a math test, if you do try and get it wrong, guess what? There's a right answer to do. And guess what? You can question that answer. And here is a whole list of how to prove a right answer. But what I have seen is that it is just, I don't care to know the answer if it was right or wrong. That is the part that I am seeing that really bugs the brain for me, because I'm like, how could you not want to know the definitive answer? That is what is missing from what I see in this generation. And I would say for us, when you ask people older than us, they would tell you that our generation, we were a little loose and open ourselves. We were doing too much questioning. I mean, if you were raised in a Black person household, or really a Southern household, but I'm Black, so I speak from the Black lens. The amount of times that you would hear, stay in a child's place, don't ever question adults, all of that, like, that is, you learn that from day one. Mm-hmm. Day one. And you can see the goods and the bads in that. But what I will say is that nowadays, that is not really taught anymore. And that leads to way much more disrespect from in school. Like, I was walking around my school, and there's this whole little, I think he was a seventh or eighth grader, but is verbally fighting with the principal. The principal. Now, let alone a teacher. I mean, first of all, it should not do with a teacher. But when you make it all the way up the chain of command and you're still sitting here doing all this, and it is that thing of like, I don't care. I don't care who's in charge. It doesn't matter to me. And then when you see the parents, it's like, this makes sense. This makes sense. So the whole giving up part, it really does piss me off. Because I'm seeing it as like, I don't care to know the real answer. Questioning is fine. But it's that part. It's that part that really messes with me.
For me, it's not even like, in terms of like, question, answer, getting it right, getting it wrong. It's never that for me. It's more just the capital E word, effort. It's like, do you have the effort in your body to accomplish anything?
I don't think that's a skill that I guess our generation is teaching our kids anymore.
And that's the thing. Like, it's like, and to me, it's like, I try different things every year with different kids of like, I just want y'all to try stuff. Mm-hmm. I want you to be curious. I want you to have effort. They're like, well, I suck. I'm like, yeah, I suck too. Let's suck together. Let's try. Mm-hmm. It's just like, that's what drives me like up a wall. But even if it's like, okay, Lauren will remember this maybe. We were in our undergrad and we performed Mishlenkatin. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple of critical mistakes that happened within a certain section that was making mistakes the entire cycle. And it just seemed like they were okay with it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, we're sitting there in Mishlenkatin and we're making these mental errors. And yes, I know it's a longer than 15 minute piece. Like, it's a long piece, but like, if you cannot focus for that long, and this is your career path, then you are truly not trying. Or you have not built up the time over that cycle, better habits. Like, okay, I know I can't focus this much. I'm going to focus for this amount, and I'm going to just count my rest. I'm going to focus for this amount. I'm going to write in my part. I'm going to do this. And it's just like, it never clicked to me. Like, yes, I know we're not all going to be perfect. I'm not perfect by any means the word necessary. I will crack them notes and sound like a clam bake all day long, but you know what? I'm a try. I'm a hit. I'm a miss that high C. You gonna know I'm trying for that thing. You gonna know I'm like one of them people. But it's like, I'm not gonna give up. You know what I mean? Like, when something hits me, I'm a hit back, baby. Now, am I gonna hit back in the same way? Probably not. You might be bigger than me, but I'm gonna find a way.
But that's your personality as well.
That is my personality, yes.
That is. As Michael would say, when he was a little kid, when a kid took his toy or something, he bit the kid.
One of my little cousins just got sent to the principal's office because he pushed a kid down for a kid calling him a name, and I said, good job. You better stand up for yourself, because if you don't, who will?
Child.
But I think it is a personality, and I see in our generation, or literally the people that are a little bit up older than us that have had kids, that the effort part is not there. That's not a value. It's not a virtue to have. Because I see a lot of, oh, let me, you know, do all this for you to make it so easy. And I think our parents, especially if you had older parents, they let you struggle. Now, they let you struggle within a confinement, of course, but that you needed to figure out your own path as well. And I don't really see that happening nowadays. And you'll be surprised how many parents will come to like a teacher meeting and will explain behavior that we see. And the parent will just say, oh yeah, they do that at home. And you're okay with that. But now this makes sense of why they come here and they also think that it's okay.
Right.
There lies the issue.
Right.
Yeah. To piggyback off of that, not going, I remember I was teaching this section one day and I was telling these kids, like, well, you're not doing this right, you're not doing this right. And the kid just burst out, I don't care what you think.
Oof.
What'd you say?
Ooh.
Care what you say. Why are you here? Because I have to be. I said, no, you don't. We can go right to this little band director. And we can tell him you don't be in this. And we can tear it right to the principal's office. And you can just get out of this class. Well, they're like, well, I don't feel like learning another thing. I said, well, you better fix something. And I'm like, is this how you talk to your parents? I said, if I tell them I don't want to do something, I don't do it. I said, you? My mama beat me with an extension cord one time. She beat me with anything that she could grab that was near her. And so and I'm not condoning beating. But I'm condoning something like back talk. I'm sorry. That's rule number one. Like, yes, your child needs to know you love them. Don't back talk anybody.
Back talk.
Yeah.
That's the Nicki Minaj reference. We're not talking about her, but she's problematic. But
I think that there is like, you raising a human being is a huge job. It is a huge job. There's so many things that go into a child's personality, their work ethic, their value sets. The parents, whoever you put around your child, the teachers, everything is so significant and so important because you know, you can learn a lot in very bad environments, right? That help you later on in life. A lot of my, especially like growing up with older parents, there's some old school ways and things that I don't particularly agree with. I turned out the way I did because that was how I handled my life and myself. I do not intend to do the exact same things in the future if I choose to have children, but they will grow up with respect, with knowledge. They can ask questions. I asked so many questions as a kid. I got in trouble for it because like that whole, like, you're supposed to be a child, stay in a child's place and everything. But I was curious. I wanted to know things. And I think that curiosity led me to doing the kinds of things. I always, whenever I've been doing so many like career day things recently, and I tell people that my shift from just really wanting to be an orchestral musician to doing the work that I do now in the arts administration, like nonprofit, like sector, is because of a curiosity that sparked in me whenever everything happened in COVID to like what was going on. Why are orchestras, like what's the structure of an orchestra? What's a nonprofit? I just was so curious. I wanted to ask those questions. And that curiosity has informed me with all the work that I do. I wanna know what's going on in the world. I wanna know who's out there, why they're doing it. And so there are ways when you start seeing if you're an educator or if you're a parent, when you start seeing your students, your children, if you're a parent, like getting their getting their own personalities and things, it takes shifting. Children change all the time. They're growing, they're adapting, their brains are still forming. There's so much going on, the environment they're around. You know, you can think that you know what your kid is doing. I can tell you right damn now, my parents didn't know half of the shit I was doing. Didn't know half of the shit that I was doing, all right? And I turned out good.
And so, y'all think that Lauren was the most Christian of us all.
Listen. Listen. Hey, but here's the thing, though. I was raised, my mom made sure that I knew the value of who was around me, because I may have done some dumb things, and undergrad is for doing dumb things, but you got to make sure the people who are around you are looking out for you, making sure that you are safe. And you got to always make sure that you're still looking out for yourself at the end of the day. So anyway, back to the putting the, I'm putting the responsibility back on the parents and the people who are raising these children for a second. You have a responsibility to keep that, help them with that balance. They are learning themselves. They're hearing maybe things from multiple sources. You never know what's going on at home until you're sitting in a parent teacher conference and you're like, oh, okay. So you're letting them do this. Mm-hmm. Teachers go through so much, and like, you cannot, as a teacher, you can't focus on individual students at all times. You're constantly thinking about multiple students in front of multiple students. So it's hard, right? It's very, very hard. And parents, we know that it's hard too. I'm saying all this to say, like, it is challenging, but we have to find a balance. Like, we have to find a balance. You can't expect like all kids to immediately come into your classroom and get it and not question it and want to be a part of it. And you can help the ones who don't get it, who are struggling, help them get there. Help them learn the value of working hard, of wanting to like sound good, of why you're standing in front of them. You're there to help them, right? You're not just there for criticism. You're not just there to tell them they're doing something wrong. You're there to show them that they can be better and that they have the opportunity to grow from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just, you know, never mind. I'm gonna keep that. That's gonna be an inside thought.
What was it?
That's gonna be an inside thought.
It's okay to have inside thought, and that's another thing that these students lack is inside thoughts.
Like, you could be cussing out your teacher in your head. Just keep it in your head.
Yes.
Like, you don't have to let every little thing that goes to your head come out, because I know half of it ain't smart.
Is that supposed to be thoughts or thoughts?
Thoughts or thoughts. Some things are for kitchen tables. Some things are for just the brain. Keep it in the brain.
Keep it in the brain.
Keep it in the brain. Michael, what is your hot takes of the day?
Oh, my God. Okay, so I have a hot take, and then I have Halloween-inspired things for us. Okay, so my hot take for this week, for the day, for everything, is stop being lazy when you get older. Like, if you are asked to do a job, and you say yes to doing the job, then do the job to your highest level of effort. Don't just be okay phoning it in, especially in a field that doesn't already get respect. Like, we can't phone it in ever. If you want to phone it in, go be a coach at a middle school.
Whoa. How about go work at Geico?
Okay, let's say go work at Geico.
Don't go teach and be a mediocre. We don't need that.
We don't need no more mediocre teachers. Mm-mm. Go work at Geico.
Go work at Progressive, because they suck. Or State Farm.
I'm with Progressive.
Ooh, same.
Oh, all right. Why are we talking about flow? What flow got to do with this?
So, are y'all ready for this? Do y'all want the flash mob questions first or the list questions first?
The what? Flash bomb? What?
Flash round, where you say answers, or the list questions?
Let's go with the list, and then we do flash.
Yes.
List the order of monsters and from your favorite to your least favorite. Okay? We have Freddy Krueger, Jason, Ghostface, Mike Myers, Cooper, and Jigsaw.
Wait, say those again.
Those were a lot. Can we just do three?
Freddy Krueger.
No. Freddy Krueger.
Jason. Okay. Ghostface. He's a scream person.
Yes.
Mike Myers, the Halloween guy.
Mike Myers.
Creeper from Anthony's favorite movie, Jeepers Creepers. And then Jigsaw, from Saw. So I'll go first. My favorite is Jigsaw. Then I like Ghostface. And then all the rest of them I hate, but I'll put them in order of Mike Myers, Jason, Creeper, and then Freddy.
I'm gonna need that list. Okay, pause.
You know what? How about this? You ready for this?
Jeeper creepers first.
Just look at your chat. Just look at your chat.
Thank you, because girl. Okay, wait.
Those are two list questions.
Okay, let's do.
It's the list of the monsters first.
Big Jeep first.
Big Jeep.
Not Big Jeep. Shout out to Big Jeep. Okay, like definitely shout out. Going first, okay? Second would be Mike Myers, then Freddy, then Jason, then Ghostface, then Jigsaw. I find the Jigsaw movies completely boring.
I love Saw. Okay, Lauren and Anthony, go ahead. Look into the list of Halloween movies.
I'll do Ghostface first because he's the least scary and I don't like scary. I'll do Jason after that just because, again, like the masks of this, you know what I mean? I can't do body horror that much. Yeah. And then Mike Myers and then Creeper, Mr. Jeeps. And then I'm going to do Freddy Krueger and then Jigsaw because the Jigsaw, I can't do Saw.
Okay, now the next question is, and I'm going to cut some of these out right now. List these Halloween movies in order of what you like the most or what you like the least. We have Nightmare Before Christmas, Beetlejuice, Hocus Pocus, Halloween Town, and Scream. Five.
First of the one, okay, Beetlejuice, Hocus Pocus. Well, but also these, Michael, are in different categories because, like, Hocus Pocus is a child's film.
Okay, and
it's a child's film.
We were at once a child and then we grew up.
Well, here we go. Halloween Town of this list, Halloween Town is number one, Scream is number two. No, Freddy Krueger's number two, Scream's number three, four is Hocus Pocus, five is Beetlejuice, six is Nightmare Before Christmas. There you go.
What was Halloween Town?
One.
Oh, heard. Mine is Scream, Beetlejuice, Halloween Town, Nightmare Before Christmas, because I think that's more of a Christmas movie than a Halloween movie. Yeah. Hocus Pocus, never seen it though, but I hate Freddy Krueger, so he's last.
Yeah. For sure, Hocus Pocus number one, Halloween Town number two. I'm gonna keep it whimsy and say Beetlejuice number three, Scream number four, Nightmare for Christmas five, and I don't want to put it in there, but I guess Freddy at the dead last.
Also, can I just say that Lauren is the funniest person to watch. Bless you. Scary movies with, because her scream is delayed by
it's good and loud. Anthony, this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna jump on the scream and then you're gonna do her scream. You ready for this? Audience, watch.
Okay, because it takes me a second to process what I'm saying. It takes me a second because usually I'll be watching movies like this, right? Where I can barely see. Or I can barely see. So if I accidentally catch it where even if I'm like this and I see something and it's in my face, first it's a body reaction and then I scream.
Her scream, y'all, you would think she saw get shot.
Yes. It is just piercing. It's just this very piercing, high-pitched note. The beautiful soprano whistle tone. It's just boom. But the thing about it, and Matt, Michael, you didn't include The Conjuring on this list of yours.
Right. List every single Sunday.
Okay. But the reason, like, we, one random day, we watched all The Conjurings. And Lauren sitting over there, she is doing this. And like the like big thing happens and it's like a 6 second delay. And then she screams. And then me and Michael just loses it because it's like, girl, that's been gone.
Like, Well, if you've seen The Nun, which is a trash ass movie, but the nun would come up and she go
like, it's scary. It takes me a second. It steals my breath away.
Left the screen.
Oh, gosh. Oh my gosh.
Flash round.
Okay. Would
be a werewolf or a vampire? We're not thinking Twilight here. We're thinking just in general.
Vampire.
Vampire.
Yeah, vampire.
Sinners.
Would you rather be a zombie or a ghost?
Ghost.
Ghost.
I don't want to eat brains.
Yeah. Ghost by far.
I'll be zombie because I like to just cause havoc. And then, now here's the one that I don't know yet. Would you rather spend the night in a haunted house or a creepy cemetery?
Haunted house. A creepy cemetery?
That the doors moving and shit? I can't, y'all.
Give me cemetery for 500, Alex. Uh-uh. No, like, what's in the cemetery? They all dead. They all dead.
That's true. And it's flat. I can see everything.
A haunted house. Girl, if I hear a door close and ain't nobody in this house, baby, go ahead and just take me up to Jesus. Because I'm not doing
it. Wait, are you talking about like a haunted house, like an actual house that is haunted, or a game?
House, and that thing is haunted.
No, that's, I thought you meant like haunted house, like a little game, like attraction type thing. No.
You got a two-story house with a basement, and that shit is haunted.
I watch Barbarian. I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not doing a haunted house. I am doing... Yes.
We're all doing a cemetery?
Yes.
My thing is flat.
Not all cemeteries are flat.
The one I would pick is flat. Shit. Mm. With as few mausoleums as possible. I want to see every tombstone within my vision. Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So welcome to Michael's Game Night. I hope y'all had a great time with it. We will be back next week with our next edition.
All right. Have a great first week of October. Ooh. Bye. Ooh.